Talking Rugby, Telling Stories, Rugby Picker. Welcome to Rugby Pick'em. Who cares? Who knows? Why bother?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on Bozo 6. The Jax.
Wow, you got it right.
The Jax Ranger. Tough day to be a Ranger.
Tough week, BT. Tough week, you know. The perfect record against the East, the perfect record at home is gone in week two. It's a little early this year.
Yeah, I think the spin zone is, all right, now it's not hanging over the team's head. You know, now we got the clear picture of what's cut out in front of us. But, man, that was definitely the game of the week. What a fireworks-oriented type of game. That's what I like. I like scoring.
Yeah, it just sucks when you come up short on the other end of it. But I think it's easy to forget. I mean, it wasn't a tough conversion at the end. If Robertson, I think his name is, if Robertson misses it, DC comes up just short and loses by one, you know?
Yeah, and you guys still get a bonus point win. So, yeah, crazy game. Crazy game. For those that don't know, the Free Jacks have the nuttiest fans out there. I'll say it. You know, you guys just care. Jax Rangers podcast, one of the best in-depth team coverage in the MLR out there. And yeah, man, I've just been enjoying listening to you guys. I love the banter. I don't think there's enough good, healthy banter out there on the internet waves. And let's be honest, you've been on top of the world. You guys, you had a championship season. You're riding that hot streak. And I think I know the moment, Bozo, when it turned. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the game, the replay of the game, but it was, I think, after Mitch Wilson's try, Andrew Quatrin kind of joins the celebrations a little late, and he gives Jason Robertson a little tug on the shirt, and Robertson was not having it. He kind of like palmed his face off, but after that, Robinson went psycho mode. So I think Quatrin, he woke the bear.
Yeah, listen, as far as the moment, I think it was the set piece pretty much falling apart for the whole game. I think those moments are what lose you games ultimately. But yeah, I mean, pissing off the other team's best player and having DC miss Mr. Robinson, I think his last season with them was 2021. Not sure, but, you know, a couple seasons since they've had him. And I think if we go back, because we're big scorekeepers of the Jax Rangers. 1,049 days it was since DC had last beaten us. And I believe the last time they beat us, Mr. Robertson was at fly half. So we hadn't beat them with Jason Robinson pulling the strings. So yeah, probably not the best idea. I'm always for the little things that players do, you know, trying to like hug other players into their huddle when they're celebrating a try, like. I love that type of stuff. I love watching it as a fan, but yeah, it's also the ultimate motivation to come back and get you, right?
Yeah, I have the exact screenshot. The moment it happened, that's going to be the episode cover picture. But
just a couple minor corrections that I just wanted to say. We're not one of the best fan podcasts. We are the best, and we are the best fans in the league as well.
Okay, done.
Just a minor correction.
Settled. No, I believe it. As a founding member myself, more an honorary founding member. I was at the first game. I don't think I bought season tickets, but no, it's a great squad. And, you know, I wanted to not just talk about, you know, the recent loss, but, you know, let you kind of tell the Rugby Pick'em fans, like, what was the ride last year? I mean, I know we're on to this year, but you got to ride that high a little more. Were you down in Chicago when the final whistle went off?
No. So myself and Dan from Merrimack, another guy on the Jax Rangers show, we are New Hampshire natives. So he came up to my place, and we streamed it for the show live from what is known as the Granite Bunker.
Okay,
so
got
we were
it.
Here, we were in the Shire watching it live, and yeah, it was a wild game, man. I don't want to dwell on it too much. I just really thought I was preparing myself for ultimate disappointment in the final, truth be told. I knew that San Diego was just so good, man. It was just so good. And it had been a long time since we played them in week two. We had to go all the way out there. A lot of people don't know, but the Free Jacks, when they went to go play San Diego in the 2023 season out there at Snapdragon, their flight was diverted. They had a couple of players sick. No excuses, I guess, but like, I think the game might have been a little closer, but I still think San Diego would have won. And I mean, I just didn't really know what was going to happen in such a nail-biting game. I don't think the conversion was that hard off that last try. And when Pontrus missed it, I'm like, oh my God, they can win this with a drop goal or a penalty. So this could be a heartbreaking end. And then to watch it bounce off Nanu and hit the deck, I was like, that's it. We got it. It was scrum. And then I thought the final scrum was masterfully handled by the Free Jacks, you know, get a couple resets, you know, that stuff, the gamemanship, the front row, like, you're really going down that many times? I think it was two resets to milk the clock, and then steady platform kicking out of bounds was a cool win. So I was very appreciative that we won.
Yeah, and it was nice of you, you know, with Dan from Merrimack with his ankle monitor situation. It was nice of you to host at the Granite Bunker.
His ankle monitor. I'm going to have to use that one.
Heard he can't leave the state. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, there's also a misnomer in the show. Dan is not from Merrimack. He is from Nashua, New Hampshire. So I don't know where the Dan from Merrimack thing came from, but we're running with it.
Okay. Yeah, but you guys are Granite State folk. I love that. You know, just the live free or die motto. That's a bumper sticker, you know, for anybody out there who's got connections to New Hampshire. But, you know, one thing I kind of wanted to hear from you, I know you weren't at the last game, and I kind of want to hear why. You know, I want to hear what a drill sergeant does on his on weekends. But just kind of explain to the Rugby Pick'em crowd, like, what is the feeling like? Because the Free Jacks don't just, you know, schedule the match and sell tickets. There's like a backbone to each event. Take us into the world of game day down in Quincy.
Yes, I think, you know, if you show up early enough, what's awesome about game day in Quincy is, it's a very intimate setting there. Like, it's on a main road, but then it's offshoot road, so it's all on street parking. But there's plenty of that, and there's a couple of parking lots. So if you get there early enough, you get a spot on the road closer to the stadium, and then up in the upper, it's the preferred parking lot, so you have to pay to be in there. But all of what I would say the Free Jacks diehards, including Kyle Sakara's dad, they run a tailgate up there, and they're just cooking from like 11 in the morning onward, and it's amazing. The Davidowitz bus, it's kind of an offshoot story, but while Cam was in college, we went to the same college, Cam and I, and I was an alumni, so I'd go up there for our alumni game every year. But he had this, they called it the puppy bus at Plymouth State, and it kind of extended. They actually bought a real nice bus. So the Davidowitz bus is in a different lot, and they run food and stuff like that. And it's just an incredible atmosphere, like pre-match. My favorite pastime is, I hang out at the tailgate real early, but I don't linger there for long. I buzz my ticket through, and I get into the stadium, and, you know, you kind of watch as the players come in. They used to come in the lower, so they come in as a group, so they get out of the vans or the bus, whatever they took over, and they come in as a group, and it would be real cool because you could kind of, like, you know, dap them up as they come in the stadium. Now they come in off the main road, and they're kind of funneled in behind, you know, barriers, so it's not so much. But I think you can hang out there, and they'll kind of, like, you know, acknowledge you. And then it's just really cool. It's such an intimate setting for the field. You're not very far away from them, from where the barriers are, so you can hold a conversation. And so, and players are really friendly. They'll wave to you, you know. But it's really cool. The crowd doesn't really bother them too much. You know, they let the players get their warm up on and all that stuff. Get their heads in the game. But it's just a really awesome setting. And then, you know, then the beer fest will kick off. There's almost I think it started 2 years ago towards the end of the season, but last season there was like some sort of alcoholic fest every time. So it's really cool to go in there and just get samples of beer. It's all local stuff. So that's been incredible. The food is okay. It's like typical. They just go with it, whatever, you know, you can get a sausage, a hot dog, a cheeseburger. It's real basic in terms of like the food.
Yeah. No one's looking to get fine dined.
Yeah.
At a free game.
Yeah, give me some chicken tendies for the kids, you know, some French fries. But no, it's a great experience, man. It's so cool. One thing that I will do a shout out, the people in the preferred lot, all those Free Jacks crazies that run the tailgate, they always invite, you know, the diehards from the other teams. So it's just really cool to interact with those folks. Like Eastern Conference final last year was the last Free Jacks game I went to in person, and all the DC folks came up and hung out with us. So that was really cool before they got their asses kicked and, out of the playoffs. So that was an awesome experience as well. It's just a great place to watch a rugby match. Like I said, like there's really not a bad seat in the house and you're right on top of it. But you know, I'm not well traveled. I haven't been to any other stadiums in MLR, so I have no basis for comparison.
Hey, one is all you need. If it's your home, that's it.
True. Yeah. So it's just a great experience overall, man. I highly recommend if anybody can make it up. We always do on the Jacks Rangers show, we always talk about like what's our dream away trip. I think that if you're looking for a match away in April and beyond, come on out to Quincy, Massachusetts and take it in.
Yeah.
With the Free Jacks.
Yeah, right on the line up to Boston. You can stay in the city, jet down on the train. It's a good setup. It's the right size of stadium. A lot of teams kind of, you know, get lost with a bigger stadium, and even if they do have a good crowd, it doesn't feel packed. But you got that 360 degree fans, you know, all around, which is good. And I think it will really carve out another year of home field advantage. But hey, you guys, you know, you slipped up on the banana. It's good that it happens in week two. I mean, that's how I'm spinning it. If I'm the coach, I'm like, hey, you know, now we're not talking winning streak. Now we're not talking defending champs. Now, you know, we're in a battle in the East. And even though multiple teams will make the playoffs this year, sub .500, you know, when we did our season previews, and again, all we're really going off of is rosters, we kind of thought that the West would be a little stronger than the East. That's not to say that like New England's not still the top dog. But I think this is good. If you're going to lose, do it early, get your reality check. You know, and sometimes coaches now are like, okay, maybe this guy isn't a bang on starter, right? Maybe we need to work somebody else in for time. So I think it's good. I think it sucks though to lose to your rival.
Yeah, especially the little brothers and the red, white, and blue. So quick side story. So, you know, Bozo Six, I can't make it to games, but a media day in the city of Boston on a Wednesday at 11 a.m. I can make it to. And I was talking to the GM of the Free Jacks, and I asked him his opinion of DC's jerseys, and he was just like, yeah. He goes, yeah, mate, just no coordination, you know. And I think he didn't comment on it further than that, but it was heavily implied that it's like they probably should have called him, because if you watched the game, you watched the Free Jacks in week one play Anthem, you almost thought it was the Free Jacks versus another Free Jacks side with the all red versus the all blue. I mean, obviously, it is what it is, man, but it's just so tough. You can't win them all. I'd have to go back and look at the 2022 season, but I think this is actually right on form. And right on par for the Free Jacks. We lost in week two last season to San Diego. I think the season before that, it wasn't until week three. I think we went 2-1. So, like, an early Free Jacks season loss is always kind of seems to be par for the course for the Free Jacks under Scott Matthews. So,
yeah, you know, it's good. It keeps it honest. Keeps it honest, and it doesn't make it so you're just coasting from day one. So I'm kind of, like, touching up what my blog's going to be right here. And I put in quotes, the power structure on the Eastern front, which is basically like my Eastern Conference ratings. I'm not willing to bump NOLA all the way to the top. You can't just go with the 2-0 team. I'm still saying it's New England. You know, I'm not flinching just because you guys lost a coin flip game. The defending champs still have their, you know, their battalion ready. So I'm not gonna flinch after just one game, but man, it was a wild game. It had a lot of scoring and a lot of craziness, and yeah, it came down to kicks. It's funny how that always comes into play with rugby when you have like multiple tries and multiple penalty attempts. Of course it comes down to your kicker's accuracy.
Right, right. And I, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't think you can really flesh out the power structure because it just doesn't, the math doesn't work. I mean, look at the Six Nations this year and you'll see how the math just doesn't work, right? And, you know, an 18-6 match, NOLA versus DC in week one, and then all of a sudden DC explodes for 35 points after not scoring a try in the first week. You know, it doesn't make much sense to me. But, it, you know, again, it's early season rugby, right? And a lot of these teams, their rosters, the players arrive to camp either late or, you know, they're only in camp for a few weeks right before the season starts. So that gel and that cohesion, you know, in the vein of like picking winners, right? Like when we do the Ranger picks, and it's been expanded this year. Mr. John Payne runs that up here for our fan group. But I always kind of laugh at people because the first 4 weeks are like the most important weeks, because if you get a lot right early, you can kind of coast, because then we figure out who everybody is and it becomes easier to pick who's going to win and who's not. Yep. And then you just got to find the upsets and the wrinkles. So still a lot of rugby left to be played, and I agree. I think 2-0 NOLA is really not much of anything, and 1-1 Free Jacks is not much of anything either. So we'll see.
Yeah, pick and chalk is boring, but pick and chalk is how you make money. It's right. Like, and I actually heard a funny thing with NFL is that, you know, the bookies typically are there's an understanding, at least the sports books, that, you know, people are going to win significant amounts of bets from week one to four because they just don't have enough data to correctly handicap the games. So the sharps are going to come in and clean up a little, but by week five, you know, the sports books, they got a clear picture. They can more competitively handicap the games, and then the dumb money just keeps rolling in throughout right. the season. So that's yep. kind of how it works. But it's been good early days. I got to give the league credit. Bring it on, Anthem. If you like symmetry, really needed that 12th team. Otherwise, yes. It would be like teams having a week one bye. It just would have been sloppy. But, you know, I don't think people expect much out of them other than, hey, stick to the plan, right? Play young guys, play Americans. And honestly, if a guy's not working out, I would roll him out and roll a new guy in. Like, shouldn't it just be this experimental ground, like a petri dish for, you know, the national team?
I can't sing more praises for the concept. You know, like week one Anthem, you know, the players on loan, Junior Gaffa from the Free Jacks, and what a game he had, just smashing the Free Jacks around. Like, honestly, like, made me wish we didn't have to put him on loan, but then I kind of rethink about it, and it's like, but he's going to get great minutes against all of these players in the league. It's just going to be tough. I mean, I've already kind of gone on my rant on some Jacks Rangers. I'll do a little bit of it here. Terrible branding. You can't, you know, Phil is from North Carolina. He's like, dude, Atlanta's our biggest rival, and you pick the giant freaking A to put on the uniform. Like, it's stupid. The branding was just, you know, haphazard and sloppy, but it seems to be par for the course for this league. Like, the teams just don't seem to have the intestinal fortitude, other than the Miami Sharks, by the way, brilliant, to just go with something simple and go with it. Hey, it works. It makes sense. People will buy it, you know?
Yeah.
People just want to be different. They want to be so different, so bad, that they just go lay out a giant turd out there. And it's like, man, you can polish it as much as you want, but that's a turd, and I know it's a turd. So God bless the players. I wish the best for them. I love the concept. I just can't wait for the rebrand, man. I'm standing by.
I hear you. I don't know what our obsession with is with RFC and FC. But I did hear from, actually it's from like bands. If you want to kind of make a unique brand, it does have to kind of have like internet stickiness. So cheers to the Free Jacks, right? That's something that if someone Googles, it's just going to stand out, right? Something like the Sabercats or the Sea Wolves. Those are unique. Anthem is not unique. There's 1,000 hits on Anthem. But hey, it appears you can do a do-over with branding. But if you do, you know, then your team might just crumble like Atlanta last year. All I'm saying is, don't the other league owners like give some feedback when they hear like, okay, a new team's coming. This is what they're thinking of. You think enough smart people in the room would be like, nah, don't name it that. But here we are.
Well, it gets to be like, not to go, I'm probably butchering this because I only took like intro level philosophy courses, but isn't that what Socrates argued, right? Man, the philosopher king, the all-knowing guy, the expert that we're just all supposed to listen to, seems to be like a guy like that. Just say, no, this is not a committee, that's a turd, we're going to go with something else, and then pick something awesome.
Yeah.
They need that desperately, we need it. I don't know, I'm volunteering myself as tribute. You can reach out to me, but my email will be pinned in the comments here. Make sure I'll drop it in there. Reach out to the MLR teams before you rebrand. Just run it by good old Bozo, and I'll give you the thumbs up, thumbs down, like Roman Coliseum style.
Yeah, I think Socrates was, the master of common sense. But let's actually hear more about Bozo 6. First, I want to guess, did the 6 come from, like, I got your back, Bozo 6?
No. So, it's not like a trade secret or anything, but like, so within the military, right, we're organized in different units, and 6 is usually the leader at echelon. And okay. So each subordinate leader will have a different a call sign. So for example, my old battalion call sign was Yeti. And so the battalion commander would be Yeti 6. And then my company commander, which is one echelon down, our company was Team Wolf, so he'd be Wolf 6. And then the platoon leaders would be 1-6, 2-6, 3-6 on Team Wolf, right? And then et cetera. And it's just kind of how it goes. And so we were kind of joking around while I was at infantry school, you know, late at night, running out there doing pretend missions, fighting pretend bad guys type of thing. But, like, you know, it's 24 hours a day, every day, you sleeping on the ground and all this army crap. But anyway, so we're out there, and I'm always climbing around and just poking fun at people. And so one guy is like, yeah, you know, you're a Bozo, man. And I'm like, yeah, Bozo 6. And then it kind of just stuck from there because I just kind of anointed myself the leader.
Got him. Yeah. No, that's good. And what does a drill sergeant do on an average weekend, you know, when he can't make the Jacks game?
Wow, not a drill sergeant, have not earned that distinction. So I am an officer, so I'm a lieutenant. So I do not outrank drill sergeants, but no drill sergeants work for me because I'm not in a recruit program. I do know what they do, though.
Okay.
They shape recruits. They shape recruits. So they teach them how to make their bed, shoot. I mean, literally do everything Army. They teach them all the stuff and things. I did have drill sergeants when I was enlisted back in the day. And they weren't fun to be around. For me, I'm a lieutenant. I'll be a captain probably in the next 2 years. Maybe we'll see. I don't know. But currently, I'm a battery commander. And so different types of units have different names. So when you're in the artillery, it's a battery. So I used to be infantry. Now I'm artillery. So I'm in a battery. Infantry is a company. But I'm a battery commander. And so I have about 70 soldiers under my command. And basically... So we're multiple, it's called HIMARS, high mobility rocket systems. So we basically shoot rocket trucks and turn stuff into glass.
There you
so
go.
We just kind of train to do that.
Okay.
But sometimes it can be mundane. Like, right, there's only a couple places in the United States you can shoot rockets. Mostly it's done overseas. So with allied partners, particularly in the Middle East and desert. All this is unclassified. You can find and you can see videos of all of this stuff online. But anyway, yeah, you just shoot rockets in the desert, man. Like, that's what we train to do. But while we're at home station, it's more like training, loading, reloading, moving, stuff like that.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for your service. And I also hear you coach rugby as well. You know, that's the real work, man. It's one thing to serve in the military, but shaping the young rugby minds, my Lord, praise to you.
Well, I took a couple year break in between, but my first coaching stint occurred in 2010, 2011. I took over my old college team. I wouldn't really count that year. I would say I've probably been officially coaching since 2023, within a couple of hiatus years during the pandemic, obviously. We kicked off the 2020 season in January, and then we all know what happened a couple months later, and then it ended up being canceled. Yeah, I've been in the coaching game. I retired from rugby very early. I took a bad shoulder injury, and that was it for me. 24-year-old kid on my parents' insurance. I was like, not getting paid to do this. I was like, I got to go get a job and make money and start my life. I'm out of colleges. College loans are coming due soon, you know, type of deal. So I quickly transitioned into coaching, and I'm happy to have done so, and I've never looked back. It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, it probably translates, you know, to the battalion commander type of stuff, because you got to have answers when everybody looks in at you, and it definitely helps develop leadership skills. I've made that transition myself from player to coach, and it's a rewarding way to stay close to the community and keep your pulse on the game that we love so much. But yeah, man, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and I can just hear, you know, how much all the Jacks Rangers care with every show. Obviously, Phil cares enough to do all the back end and get all the interviews down and just keep cranking out content. But anybody on the Jacks Rangers that comes on the airwaves just really loves the team, and that definitely shows. So if you're listening to Rugby Pick'em right now, subscribe to the Jacks Rangers podcast, and you're going to get a whole lot of New England stuff coming at you. But yeah, you guys are still the team to beat. I'll say that. Even though you've been beat, you're the team to beat still. I don't budge that hard. I'm not going to let one poor 20-minute period undo 14 straight. So, you know, my working title is Free Jacks Fall, which is true. But I'm going to make it clear in my blog that, you know, I still back you guys to win the East.
Can we change it to Free Jacks Tripped and Fell?
Tripped and Fell. Okay. I like that.
Free Jacks Stumbled.
I like that. That will surely elicit comments in the ever so polarizing MLR Reddit. Free Jacks Tripped and Fell. I'm typing in now.
Hey.
That's good.
It's been good, man. From the ambassador of antagonism, that's approved. That's me. I'm the ambassador of antagonism, the king of the comments. The prime minister of pot stirring, so to say.
Well, that's good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Bozo6, best in the biz. Thanks for coming on Rugby Pick'em.
Thanks, PT. Have a good one, brother.
All right, we'll talk soon.
All right.
Bozo6. Tough day to be a Ranger.
Days it was since DC had last beaten us.
Dan from Merrimack with his ankle monitor situation. It was nice of you to host at the Granite Bunker.
They run a tailgate up there, and they're just cooking from like 11 in the morning onward. It's amazing. I buzz my ticket through, and I get into the stadium, and they just go lay out a giant turd out there, and it's like, man, you can polish it as much as you want, but that's a turd. I know it's a turd.
I think Socrates was, the master of common sense.
Know your role.